If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 24. I love this verse. By the way, thank you this morning, John and Edna, for leading us in communion. Psalm 24. Who is this King of Glory? He's asking us a question. Who is he? And the reply is the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he? This King of Glory. Who is he, this King of Glory? He's the Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. He uses the word strong, mighty. He's mighty in battle. And he's the Lord Almighty and he's the King of Glory. You can't get any more majestic than that. Amen. Yesterday we installed a king and a queen. And as all that went and all that has gone, he does not compare to this king. I'm not discrediting one to exalt the other. Both are kings. Charles is the legitimate king. But he is the King of Kings. Amen. This one is mighty in battle. That one isn't. He's never fought a battle as a king. But this one has. So we've been looking at, it's not the size of the dog in the fight that counts. It's the size of the fight in the dog. You know, sometimes there's a battle that seems bigger than you that comes along. It can be cancer, it can be sickness, it can be a threat, it can be all kinds of things. And when things come like this, they shake us, don't they? And you can get knocked back on the rope, so to speak. And it can take the legs from under you, take the breath out of your lungs, and you feel absolutely gone. But then after a period of time, you start getting your mojo back. You know, your inner strength. And what's inside of you then comes to the surface. And at that point, you find the size of the fight that's in the animal. Sometimes all you need is just a good fight to bring out what's always been inside of you. And we don't want the fight, but the fight actually brings out what's in us. Yeah? Some guys go looking for a fight. Other guys respond when a fight is on. Yeah? I don't go looking for a fight. Sometimes fights, I don't know what it is, but I just might leave my email address on my GPS and a fight finds me. But at that point, how do I respond? Do I react or do I respond? And I'm amazed sometimes at the size of the fight that's in me. And other times I'm ashamed at the little of the size of the fight that's in me. Sometimes I respond too quick. Other times I respond too slow. And when I respond too slow, I tell myself, next time we'll be quicker. And when I get quick, I said I responded too quick, then I should be a lot slower. And I don't know about you, but I find myself at this. I never seem to get it perfect. And it's like the pendulum does that. And it slows down the older I get. And when I get old, I've got no fight left in me. Because I'm too old. But I've still got, they're still fighting this dog. Amen. They still fight. But strength is an internal thing. It's an internal thing. Your size and the size of your strength is an internal feature. It's not an external feature. You take the wee guy and the tall guy, the big guy should win every time. But David beat Goliath. And we've had loads and loads of illustrations throughout life of the wee guy, the small guy, beating the big guy. And that's wonderful because it shows you that not everything is so predictable. There's the unpredictable. And that's the unpredictable because strength is unseen until it's brought out. Until provoked. until God stirs something on the inside of you that brings something to the surface. And it's in every one of us. All you need is just a good fight. Well, you went very quiet in this Catholic church, didn't you? Fighting for the right cause at the right time, the right dog in the fight, and the right size of the fight in the dog is perfect for what God wants. Yeah? Our God is a God who's got size, he's got strength, and he's got power for impact. And that's what we've been calling this series. Size and strength for power and impact. With power for impact. We need some impact. We've got all the power, but I'm not quite sure we've got the size and the strength on the inside. We tell ourselves all power's been given to us. What good is all power given to you if you feel weak on the inside? Yeah? If I said to some of you, go and witness to that guy, lay hands on the sick, and some of you would shake. I've never done this before. How long have you been saved? 30 years. What, and you've never prayed for anybody outside? No. Well, what have you been doing? Well, I've just been sat inside listening. I've been listening, but I've not been doing. You don't know the size of your power until you step outside, until it's needed. And guess what? People are looking for your power. People are looking for your power. Now, you see, you can have an image. An image is not power. It's influence. Image is only good as long as you've got an image. Image is only good as long as somebody likes your image. But influence remains. You've got influence, that's the new power. Influence is power. So, you may have heard of a guy in the Bible, a wee guy called Zacchaeus. The Scots would call him a wee guy, he's just a little wee guy. In fact, when you look at the theologians would say Zacchaeus is probably the smallest guy ever in the Bible. There's no official small guy been recorded in the Bible, but the theologians tend to say he is the smallest. You know why? Because he's considered as to be a dwarf. He was a wee guy. Zacchaeus. Now, the trouble is one day Jesus is coming into town. And the wee guy wants to know what all the fuss is all about. And he can't see. He can't see through the crowd. He can't see beyond the crowd. He can't see round the crowd. But Zacchaeus, being smart, says, you know what? I'm going to climb a tree. I won't let my size determine what I want to see. So the size on the inside of him says, I'm going to climb a tree. A sycamore tree. And let's pick the story up here and you see what happens. You see, this guy is a dwarf. Now, I don't know if you know that according to Levitical law, a dwarf was excluded from being a priest. Yes. So Zacchaeus couldn't even qualify to be a priest amongst his own people. Right? But Jesus is not deterred by the physical size. Jesus looks at the size of him internally. And let's pick the story up here. And here we see that he's climbed up the tree. And in Luke 19, verse 3, talking to Zacchaeus, he says, he wanted to see who Jesus was, so he's inquisitive. But being a short man, being a wee guy, see, Scripture's actually labeled him as a short man. We'll call him a wee guy. Zacchaeus the wee guy. He could not. So he wanted to see Jesus, but because he was a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I believe you're Airbnb, Zacchaeus. You're my Airbnb tonight. And just, so Jesus reached the spot and said, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Don't you like it when the wee guy now is becoming the big guy in the crowd? All of a sudden, Jesus is walking down and he's ignoring all the big people and he looks at the size of the strength in this young man. And he pulls him out and he says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house tonight. So everybody's now looking at him and saying, who is this little fella that you're so interested in? He wouldn't even qualify to become a priest. He's a dwarf. So Jesus, being respect of all kinds of people, he said, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to him, Lord, look. Sorry. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, look. Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I ever cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay them back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. Zacchaeus had more size and more strength than all the people stood in front of Jesus. This wee guy decides inside him, I want to know what all the fuss is about Jesus. So I'm going to run ahead of him. I'm going to use my strength to climb up that tree. And Jesus noticed him. See, when you use your strength and your size internally, you get noticed by Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was the one who put it inside of you. And now he sees, he responds to what's inside your heart. And now he sees him and he says, you know what? I'm coming to your house. You and I have a lot of conversations to have. So today, salvation has come to your house. What a powerful encounter this little fella has. So powerful is this encounter that Scripture records it for us. An outstanding piece of Scripture. Then we used to, as kids, make fun of Zacchaeus. And we used to sing about Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus, the one who had internal strength and size. When everybody around him, Jesus didn't pay attention to them, but he paid attention to the wee guy. So this wee guy, though he was small, the size of the fight inside of him was what brought him prominence in the eyes of Jesus. And it's always the size of the fight inside of you that will bring the Lord of hosts to your side. Amen. So always the size of the battle on the inside. If you look at your outside and compare yourself with other people, you'll drive yourself nuts. You've just got to conclude you're better looking than everybody else. Right? Get the job over with. Because if you compare looks with looks, figures with figures, you send yourself nutters. Nutters. Nutty is the word. Nutty, yeah. You send yourself crazy. So you've got to say, greater is he that is in me. That's an internal reading. The one who is in me is greater than the one who is not in me. So the internal has to speak to the internal and get an internal reading rather than use an external reading to measure yourself. The one who is in you, that's two against one. Well, actually, that's four against one. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and you is four. Amen? So there's no reason, but it's if you want to compare apples with apples all day long, you can do. And the survival of the stronger mind will win. So though he seemed like a small dog, he wasn't. He was anything but. And the Scripture only gives us a small account of this fella, but it's enough for us to see it's possible to get ahead. Amen. It's possible to get ahead based on how you see yourself. Amen. It's important. So let's think about that. How do we get ahead? Well, Scripture has a lot to say. Go back to Deuteronomy. I read this Scripture last week. Now, the one thing, before you go to Deuteronomy, sorry, let me just finish something off out of Luke here. We want to get ahead. Now, the thing about Zacchaeus was this. Instantly, when Jesus said, I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus had an internal reading and he said, I have not wronged anybody. Now, he was a tax collector. In fact, the scripture tells us he was the chief tax collector. And the people associated him as a sinner. Why is Jesus associating with a sinner? Right? But the first thing Zacchaeus turns around and says is, in order for me and you to move forward and me get ahead, I am willing to pay back any wrongs I have done. Now there is the size of the man, right there. Willing to be scanned by heaven and say, I know moving ahead with you, Jesus, will mean I have to put something right today. And I'm willing, if I've wronged anyone, I'll pay them back four times. Four times. Now that is an astounding statement that in order for you and I to move forward, are we willing to put something right? We've got to put things right constantly in our lives when we step out of line or when something steps out of alignment in us. Because the aim of the game is to keep going ahead with Jesus. Zacchaeus says, I'm going to get ahead of the crowd and I'm going to meet him face to face. So Deuteronomy tells us how Israel was, if they were going to get ahead with God, God asked them to do four things. After he tells them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, strength and soul and mind, he then tells them, he gives them four actions that I gave you last week. Deuteronomy 7 verse 5, this is what you are to do with them. Now, he's already told Israel, don't intermarry with foreigners. In other words, anyone who's not part of the 12 tribes, anybody outside, don't let your sons and daughters marry them. Why? Because they'll take your children and they'll end up worshipping and following false gods. Yes? And he was most insistent about this. Do not let your sons and daughters intermarry. So what's the equivalent of that? In the New Testament, he says, don't yoke with unbelievers. Christians shouldn't marry non-believers. And this was God saying, because it'll pull you in the wrong direction. And then people say, young couples say, well, I just love her or I love him. Well, okay, you'll love him all the way the wrong way. Because it'll pull you in the wrong direction. Now, in the Old Testament, they had to go into the land and wipe out everyone. Now, in the New Testament, don't go and wipe them out. Don't wipe them out at all. It's called murder. But in the New Testament, he says, don't go down that path. Don't go down to Egypt. You go down to Egypt, Egypt has consequences. Phil's already talked to us about that. So here in Deuteronomy 7, let's pick it up. Verse 5, this is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars. Altars are the place where they worship. Smash the sacred stones. Cut down the Asherah poles and burn their idols. Four things. You want to get ahead? You got to do four things. You want to get ahead with Jesus? Four things. He says this, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, to be his treasured possession. Now, please tell me, when you have children, are your children not your treasured possession? Come on. Is there anything you won't do for your children? No. There's nothing you won't do unless you don't want to keep lending them money but eventually. There's nothing you won't do for your children. Why? Because they're your flesh. They're your offspring. And that's how God felt about Israel. And that's how God feels about you. And that's how God feels about nations. Some nations are God's treasured possession. And Israel is a treasured possession. Now, every nation wants to, well, not every nation, but most nations want to think that they've got a special favor with God. Americans love to think that they've got this special place with God. God bless America, my home sweet home. And they actually believe that, you know, America is God's favorite next to Israel. And it's like, hello, wake up. It's not that God doesn't love you. It's like, but you're not his favorite. Because Britain is. We know God's a Brit. No, he's not. When I was a kid, you know, I used to think Jesus was white. And he spoke English. And then I realized he speaks Mancunian. He doesn't speak English. All right, all right. And Jesus is neither of those things. But these are the images that Sunday school put in my mind. And it's only as you get older you think, what? It's not. He don't speak English. No, he's not. He's not that. Wow, okay. He's not. I still love him. So it comes down to choice. Zacchaeus made a choice. Zacchaeus chose to get ahead. Zacchaeus strategized how he was going to get ahead. I'm going to climb that tree. I'm going to get to an advantage point, and I'm going to see him. Just to see what the fuss was about. But by elevating himself up that tree, using his strength, this is a wee guy climbing up his tree. Why didn't nobody, have you ever seen it? When football teams come home and they parade their trophies, everybody climbs up everything. Everybody wants the highest spot. You'll see people do crazy, stupid things, hanging on a lamppost, 100 feet in the air, just so they can get the aerial view. And here's Zacchaeus getting up that tree, using his own strength, using his own initiative, which was his choice. If you want to get ahead, you've got to make some choices. I said, if you want to get ahead, you've got to make some choices. Zacchaeus, through his own choice and strength, decided that I will break any wrongs that have holding on me, I'm going to break them right now. If I've done anything wrong, he said, I'll pay them back four times. So the first thing you've got to do, if you want to get ahead, is break some things, some habits. Break some habits. You've got to break something down on the inside of you. Something that dominates your behavior, that's the size of the fight that's challenging you, that's stopping you from getting ahead. We've all got something on the inside of us challenging us, and it needs breaking down. Little by little, bit by bit, it needs breaking down. Come on. Am I speaking to the right crowd this morning? Because if you don't break it down, it will always rule you. You have to dismantle it little by little. Yeah? Little by little. It's a process. But you've got to be determined, if I'm going to get ahead, I've got to face some fights. Then Zacchaeus, through his own choice and his own strength, decided he would, so the Bible tells Israel, and Zacchaeus in his own mind, just like Israel, says, I'm going to smash whatever has been holding me. So I'm not just going to break it down. Some things need smashing. Do you know, I said to you last week, when I used to smoke, I tried to smash and stamp on my cigarettes. How many packets of fags, Phil, did I stamp on? Too many. I used to say to him, I'm quitting. Today's the day I'm going to quit. I'll just have one more fag before I quit. Right? I used to stamp on the cigarettes, walk out. I mean, how much are they today? About £12 a packet. That's an expensive stamp, that, isn't it? And then an hour later, gone by 20 more. I could not break it, but it needed. See, cigarettes didn't need dismantling. They needed smashing. It was an addiction. An addiction needs smashing. Yeah? And it takes a stronger power to break an addiction than to break something down because you see it's not right. Yeah? You might need something smashing. I'm going to pray for you later that if you've got anything that wants smashing, we're going to break it. And smash it. Amen? Then God told Israel to cut down those Asherah poles. Cut them down. Asherah poles are something quite big. Cut them down. bring him down to size. And Zacchaeus decided to cut down. It means to reduce the quantity of something. Reduce, trim back. Some of you are maybe doing things that you need to cut down and trim back on. Where would this apply most? Some of your spending. Some of the areas some of you spend money, you need to trim back on. You don't need those luxuries like you think you do. You don't need Ben and Jerry's ice cream 5 nights a week. You need to cut back on Ben and Jerry's. I'm giving you, for instance. You need to cut back on fast food. It ain't fast, it's just food. You need to cut back on it, trim it down, and have it as a luxury, not as an everyday thing. Come on. Some of you need to cut back on the area of how you spend. Some of you need to cut back on TV. Oi. Am I hitting some gods in here this morning? Some of you need to cut back on TV. Some of you need to cut back on social media. You watch it too long. The idea of social media is it's designed to keep you on it for as long as possible. If you're not paying for the advertisements, you are the product they're hitting. I go to the gym and I am amazed at between each rep someone does. Pull it down, pick the phone up. Nobody's talking to you, mate. Leave your phone in the locker. You haven't got any mates. You're coming here to do a workout. And most workouts is doing that. That's all it is. People are glued to the phones. Oh, it annoys me. I want to drop a weight on the phone. Zacchaeus decided to cut down. The last thing God told Israel to do was to burn. Burn some stuff. You see, when you burn some stuff, you say goodbye to it forever. And in the New Testament, Paul, when he went into one of the villages, they brought all their demonic scrolls out. And they burnt them, and they were saying, say goodbye to it all. This is now the future. We don't need those scrolls. We don't need those documents. We don't need anything that would keep us connected to our past. We're going to burn our past. And like I said to you last week, one of the things we did in ADT, Authentic Discipleship, is after so many weeks of discipleship, we get the students to write down some things and we build a fire. And we burn the past. And it's a way of cutting off the past. You know, I'm a new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. I no longer live by the flesh. I give my life to Christ. Therefore, he's going to have my future. And you have to burn the past. And it's amazing when you ask people to burn what they associated with. Once associated, when they burn, there's something that breaks in them. And it releases a cry. It's very powerful when you watch people let go of the past. And Zacchaeus, I believe Zacchaeus was never the same again after that encounter with Jesus. I'd like to have known what the conversation he would have had with Zacchaeus through the night. What other conversations? We don't hear any more about Zacchaeus, only the small encounter that he had. But I'm telling you now, Zacchaeus had more size in him and more fight in him than all those stood around him. And Jesus acknowledged what was inside this man. And so often, we read that Zacchaeus and we just pass over the story, but there's so much gold in it. And Zacchaeus got ahead. That's the key. Zacchaeus got ahead. What are you going to do to get ahead? What trees are you going to climb? What things are you going to do? Are you willing to run ahead to get the attention of Jesus? This is the great challenge that came to him. So, we've seen Zacchaeus, what Israel had to do to get the favor of God so that she could get ahead was to do those four things. Was to break down, smash, cut, and burn. Have we not just seen that? Yeah. What Zacchaeus had to do was run ahead, climb a tree, and then he decided that I'm going to get ahead, I will pay back anything any wrong I've done to anybody. He was willing to do something, to change something in order to get ahead. Right? Israel had to do something, change something, if she was to get ahead. Zacchaeus did. But what about Jesus himself? What about Jesus as the one coming and telling everybody, this is my Father's word, this is my Father's rules. Even Jesus, listen to what he says in where's he gone? Luke 2. You see, Jesus himself had to grow in strength. Jesus himself, he was born a baby. Babies are not born King Kong. Babies are babies. Jesus had to grow. Jesus had to mature. Jesus had to grow and mature so he could get ahead and show his Father he is the pattern son. So he could show you that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Right? The one who claimed himself to be the way, the truth, and the life could show it all the way through his life. He wasn't just a statement. He modeled the life. He modeled the way. He spoke the truth. Therefore, he proved to his Father that he was a son. Yes? So it says here in Luke 2, 52, Jesus grew. Stop. Jesus grew. Jesus grew. Well, we know as a baby he would grow naturally. Because natural growth is something that comes from giving a child milk and food and love and care. It's not talking about Jesus grew naturally physically. Of course he's going to grow naturally physically. He's a child. But it's referring to us in the dimensions he grew. Watch this. The dimensions that Jesus grew in order to get ahead is specific in detail for you and I. He grew. So, first of all, let's break this down. He grew. Can we all acknowledge Jesus grew? So, if Jesus can grow, how more essential is it for you and I? Are we not trying to prove our love for God? Are we not? Yes. So there's some things we need to do to show our love for God. Amen. There's a lot of things we have to do in the scripture. But we have to show, first of all, we have to grow. Now, they say that when you get older, you actually shrink in size. Have you heard that before? When you get older, you actually shrink in size. I'm staying 8 foot. I don't care what you say. I'm not shrinking. Phil says he's already 8 foot on the inside. But you do not have to shrink internally. You may, bodily, your spine may arch over or whatever it is, and you may lose a couple of inches. But spiritually, we do not have to decrease, we should increase. Doesn't matter. Spiritual, the law of growth is not a physical law. It's a spiritual law. So you and I must keep on growing till the day we finish. So Jesus grew. Will you? Will you grow? Then he says, Jesus grew in wisdom. Now come on. I've been around Christians long enough to know that some are still as blind today as the day they first came into the kingdom. I've been around Christians long enough to know that Christians are still falling over for the same things they fell over 10 years ago. They're still falling in the same areas. Some Christians do not grow beyond salvation. They come into the kingdom, or they come into the cross. Some stay at the cross. So it's just, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, you love me. You love me, Jesus, and they're always thanking God for the cross, and they never move into the power of the cross, because it's the power of the cross that changes your life. What Jesus did, Jesus did. It's now what you do with what Jesus did, what changes your life. So now you have to get up, take salvation, step into the cross. That's called the renewed life. And as you step through the cross, that's now called the resurrected life. And the power of the resurrection now has to work in you. So now how does it work? It now works in me the way I respond to what Jesus says. Yeah. Now I'm not just saying, Lord, I'm a dirty sinner. I can't believe you died for me. Well, okay, deal with that one. Yes, you were unworthy, but he calls you now worthy. Now you have to work out your salvation. Now you have to prove yourself to be a worthy son or daughter. Right? That's now what's called obedience. So now pick up the cross. Pick up the word of God. Pick up, put on your helmet of salvation. Put on all the things you've got to put on and start going forth with him. So now you have to grow in wisdom. In wisdom. Wisdom is something you grow in. Yeah, it's not something you just acquire, it's something you grow in. Because when you grow in it, it changes how you act. If you acquire it, it's just something in your head. But if you grow in it, it becomes you. And this is why when you're around wise people, you know the difference between someone who's just got some information and someone who's grown in wisdom. Jesus grew in wisdom. It's not about having the answers for everything. It's about having wisdom in you. So he grew in wisdom. And the next thing he grew in, it says, John, he grew in stature. Now, in English, we use the word size. Right? So if we say stature, you go to the dictionary, it'll say the size of something. But if you go into your Bible, it's not referring to size physical. It's referring to character. Right? So Jesus grew in strength, character, size. Yeah? So he grew in wisdom and he grew in strength. And the size of his strength meant he had character, depth of character. He grew so much that he could turn around and say, Satan has no hold on me. Amen. You and I can't say that. That confident. So he grew in stature. So he had the size of the fight inside Jesus was superior to any Roman legion. See, he could hang on the cross and say, and Peter's got his sword there, I'll defend you. Get behind me, Jesus, I'll defend you. And Jesus says, can I not just call legions of angels down at my command? It's easy. Jesus had it. Because he grew. He grew. You see, what you don't grow in, you have to borrow. You can't borrow somebody else's strength forever. You have to develop your own. And then he says this. So he grew in wisdom. Everybody say wisdom, if you will. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. Right? And he also grew in favor. Now, if you want to get ahead, you're going to have to grow in some areas. You're going to have to grow in wisdom. You're going to have to grow in stature. Let's have a look at the size of the dog inside the animal. Yeah? And you're going to have to grow in favor. Okay? Favor. Why do we need favor? Well, if you want the blessings of God, some of you are trying to do things and want things that you realize that you think, talent and your skill and your knowledge will get you there. In every corridor to success, there are people. True? And the higher you go, the smarter they are. And they've seen people like you come 1,000 times. So you're trying to walk the corridors leading you to success. It can be in any area that you want. But on that corridor, there are people who have been there longer than you, smarter than you, who have learned more than you. In fact, most of them have forgot more than you've learned and I've learned. So you think you can get to all your goals without having favor. And you think you can quote it on your fridge magnet. And you can walk into your office and say, I have the favor of God on my life and I'm going to get anything I want. Hogwash. You have to grow in wisdom, stature, and in favor. How Do I give Z favor? He has to do some things that proves I can trust him. Some of us, when the boss is not there, we do our own thing. But God's watching. If we want to get ahead, we've got to do it God's way. We've got to grow in what? Wisdom, stature, and favor. Okay, favor with who? With God. So integrity is when you do things when nobody else is watching. What are those things that you do that when nobody's watching, will you do and won't do? God's always watching. And God says, you know, I don't have to let you fall down a hole to realize you've got flaws inside of you. I can see them. I can read a man's heart. I know where he's at. I don't want, I've tasted the dust. Have you ever tasted the dust? I've tasted the soil of the floor from falling flat on my face. I don't like it. So if I'm smart, I'll go back, I'll humble myself before the Lord, I'll repent, I'll stay through the cross, and I'll say, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your ways. And God says, okay, Tony, you need to grow in this area. It's always what I need to grow in is going to prevent me from getting favor. That's why Jesus says in the New Testament, unless you remain in the vine. Why? Because you grow in the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So you need to grow in this vine. So if you grow in this vine will always be in you. And when no one's looking, you'll still be in the vine. You'll still be growing. No matter what disasters come your way, it won't take what's in you and what you've been growing in out of you. But if you try and borrow it in a moment of crisis, it's never yours. And you don't know how to use it. Now, if Phil give me a piece of software that I've never been familiar with, and I need it in a time of crisis, if he gives me the software and I don't know how to use it, what good was it? No good. You see, word perfect. You've already got word perfect inside of you. Right? It's called the Bible. It's word and it's perfect. But how many of us want to use pages? Different software when you've got word perfect already inside of you. But I don't like that version. I don't like reading my Bible. I struggle to read my Bible. Then you will never grow. I'm sorry. There's no shortcuts to growth. There's no shortcuts. And this is one of the problems with the younger generation. They've been told they can do anything they want. You cannot bypass certain laws. You have to have character. You have to grow in some things. There are some things you could never advance with until you've learned. And the thing about the internet is that it tries to accelerate people to the front of the queue. But eventually, you'll get spotted. And when your gift takes you to a place where your character can't keep you, you're in trouble. If you want to rise just on a gift, you're in trouble. You must have character. Because it's the character of God that keeps you and your gift sane. Amen. Oh, I wish the young people would learn this. Listen, we've all been born with gifts and talent. You know, I come into church and I see got some churches and they say, oh, look at that person there. They can see she's got a voice like an angel. Do you know what? God created a lot of angels on the ground who can sing. I'm not diminishing they can sing. I acknowledge they can sing. The issue is, your voice alone's not enough. Oh, look at that guy, he plays the guitar, fantastic. Look at that preacher, he preaches fantastic. Great, I acknowledge that, we can use that. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's put something of God on the inside. Because the gift alone's not enough. Yes, because when people are no longer acknowledging your gift, what are you going to do? You still need to grow and keep growing. So I go to university, I learn, I come out, and I haven't got my degree. And I think, now I've worked for 4 years, I've got it, I'm now entitled to go and get a job, and then you can't get a job. And all of a sudden, people are swayed and knocked back. What am I going to do? All my self-worth's gone. I studied for 4 years, I thought I was going to get to the top. And now they study for all this length of time, and they get in the company, and they can't get promotion. What am I going to do? I'm qualified. It's not about qualification. That's part of it. That got you to the gig. But now we're talking about advancing. Now we're talking about getting ahead. I'm going to have to grow in some things. I'm going to have to grow in patience. I'm going to have to grow in knowledge. I'm going to have to grow in some humility, for goodness sake. I'm going to have to grow. Okay, growing pains. Anybody heard that? When you were younger, you used to say growing pains. Yeah, I'm still getting them. You've got to grow, guys. Well, I'll stop growing now. I'm 60, I've retired. What? Then go home to heaven then. Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Now what's the next thing he grew in? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Notice he didn't say he grew in favor with man and then God. God first. Because God says, if I can trust my boy with me, I can change men's hearts and make room in men's hearts to accept him. Who is this king? Who is this king? This king in me is the Lord, strong and mighty. He's mighty in battle. He's mighty in me because I've grew in him. Who is this king inside of you? Is he a Sunday God? Is he a Burger King? What is he to you? If he's your king and he's the Lord God, strong and mighty, it's only fair to say that they should be the attributes inside of you. Because he lives inside of us. There should be some mighty battles going on. It should be some strength seen inside of you. Because this king lives inside of you. Let's go to Samuel. Just to show it wasn't only Jesus who grew. It wasn't only Zacchaeus. He says of Samuel exactly what it says about God, about Jesus. In Samuel 2 verse 26, he says, and the boy, Samuel, watch this, continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. Very similar to what Jesus, it said about Jesus. So we've seen Jesus, we've seen Samuel. If you want to be a mighty man and a mighty woman of God, you've learned, you've got to grow in wisdom. You've got to grow in stature with God. But notice what it said about Samuel. He continued. He continued. In other words, he got the principles and he chose to do something with them and he continued. You and I must, if we're going to get ahead, we must choose to continue. To grow in what? Stature and in favor with God first and with men. You see, Samuel had so much favor with God and with men that Israel trusted him to be a judge. So much influence over men that the enemy never got anywhere near the territory of Israel in all the days that Samuel was prophet. Samuel could judge the whole region and keep the whole region protected under his guardianship and what his ministry, because he had favor with God and with man. God says, I can trust you, Samuel, to look after my people. Yeah. If I'm going to look after my people, I'm going to do it through you, Samuel. If I'm going to look after your company, Z, I'm going to look at it, so I'm going to do it through you. You're capable of keeping your whole company from going into liquidation. I did it myself when I worked in my printing factory. I've told you this before. The times you would come downstairs and say, we think we've only got 2 weeks before we're short. And I'd walk, when I was on nights, I would walk through the hallways of our company and I'd be praying in my dinner time, Lord, you will not shut this factory. It will grow. It will prosper. Lord, if only for me, you'll keep these doors open. And you know what? That company was open for 100 years. It had 100 years history. And then God called me into the ministry, and within 2 years, the factory closed down. Don't tell me you can't govern a region. You can. You can govern a region. If God can trust you, he can do it. Now, what would happen is, on a Friday night, many of the guys would want to go early. So somebody had to stay behind and clock everybody out. Right? You know, they're the days when you had to clock in and clock out. Remember those days? Some of you never had jobs like that. Well, yeah, you have a card, you had to punch it. Yeah? And you had to clock it in, and then someone would pick the cards up at the end of the week, see when you're late, when you clocked in, then they dock your wages according. So nobody wanted to lose money. So then they tried to get me to stay behind, right? And I'd had a lot of favour with men, a lot of favour. But this is the one thing they were pushing me in. I said, no, I'm not doing it. I cannot lie. I cannot lie and clock you out. It's not happening. Then they say to me, well, you've got to come in on Sunday. You've got to work. And I'd say, I'm not coming in Sunday. It's my day when I go to church. And they said, what do you mean you're not coming in? Well, you'll lose your job. Fine, I'm not doing it. And the fight was on. Do you know what they did? I was the only person, that whole company, they said, can you come in after you've come to church? Sometimes you have to stand and fight and rule the territory. I wasn't proud. I was desperate. There's nothing like a bit of desperacy to get you praying. God had to show he could trust me. And he kept that factory open because he had a man on the ground. When you hear the news, there's recession. And everybody in your place of work saying, oh, I don't know how long we're going to have got. You step into that arena and say, it won't close down under me. Why? Because I've got something to say about this. Yes, God can protect a people because of the man or the woman on the ground. Yeah? You see, I take this young man here. How many times have you been knocked back? 4 times. Did you get back up again? Now, I think it was last time, or was it, or the time before, I can't remember. You felt really dejected, didn't you? A couple of times, right. But you're still here today. Amen. He got back up again. All as God's trying to see is if he can trust him. Are you my man? Can I trust you? Because this is just the beginning. And by the way, he looks better in blue than he ever does in red. He stood there with his blue tie on and his pendant, you know, FA Cup winners, I don't know, Champions League winners. There he is, all in blue, and he looked good. All God's trying to do is show you, can I trust you for the next level? Because every level is the devil. Can I trust you? But the thing is, here's an example, I'm sure, so there's other examples in here, where 4 times it was no. But on the boulevard runway to the White House, right? Or to Downing Street, whichever one it is, on the way, there's going to be many, many fights. There's going to be many giants out there that's going to try and kick him and knock him. But can he trust you? That's why 2 of you are in it. Not one. 2 got elected the other night. Not one. There's nothing like a woman at the side of you. Just make sure it's the right one. So, are we getting the picture that there's some things we have to grow in? Are you sure? 4 times. So what's the next level for you? Knowing what you know about the system, where else is there to go? MP. Do you want to be an MP? No, not. Do you want to be an MP? Is it just yes or no? Right. It's not, God's doing nothing on Thursday. I'll step in for him. I know, but now you're here. I want to see him go all the way. But I want him to go to the level that he believes God's telling him to go to, not what I want. Because I want them, to be instruments of righteousness in this region. Amen. I can't think of anything better saying Dave's not in church on Sunday. Why? He's got to go down to London because Parliament sits soon. I'd like the idea to say, hey, our boy's out there. But guess what? You're going to need the church more than you ever thought. Because you can't go into politics on your own. You've got to go in with the Lord. Got to go in. So many Christians get swallowed up and ate alive in that field. So, but like Samuel, you can bring protection to Tameside. You can. You can be one of Israel's judges or one of the Dream Center's judges. So, last scripture, we're out of here. If you're going to grow in wisdom, stature, and what else did I say? Favor with God, you're going to have to develop one of the most priceless pieces of your character, your godly character, that you need, and it's called faith. Faith. You will not get where you're going. We will not get where we're going as a church, where we want to go and believe God wants us to be, without faith. Faith. Yeah. Ephesians 4:13 says this. Until we reach the unity in the faith. So until means it's a journey. It's on the wall. The word until means there's a time attached to the word until. You keep doing something until. It's a time frame attached to that word. There's a lot of other things attached to it. Obedience, blah, blah, blah. But until we reach the unity in the faith, we must keep growing. We must keep growing. True? Now, not only, I remember it said to you, you grow in things, you grow in wisdom, you grow in strength, you grow in favor with God and with man, and you grow in the faith. And then he says, and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Don't separate faith without the knowledge. But don't develop knowledge without any faith. You grow in the faith and in the knowledge of God. Because the knowledge of God opens up your understanding of God for your faith to grow in. You can't grow in faith if you've got no knowledge attached. Hello? You must have knowledge and faith working together. It's never one thing. Knowledge what? Of the Son of God. Be very clear where your knowledge, what your knowledge is in. Because where your knowledge, the direction of your knowledge will determine the substance of your faith. The direction of your knowledge will determine the substance of your faith. Many of you got knowledge in so many professions here. Great. But it's very clear, it says, grow in the knowledge of God. In God. And become mature, it says. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You can't attain the full measure of Christ without faith in the knowledge of God. Then we'll no longer be infants. Ah, here's the defining point now. When you grow in the knowledge, in favor, in wisdom, in stature. See, most faith preachers will talk about just the favor of God. You can't have the favor of God unless you've got the faith in the knowledge and knowledge in your faith of God. He says, and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure, to the fullness of Christ. Then he says, if you do that, you will no longer become an infant. You'll no longer be an infant who's tossed and back by the waves, blown here by every kind of wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men and the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth, what? In love. It's not about love, in love. We will, in all things, grow up into Him. Whatever you word the word grow, it's always, the next word is into. It's not grow by learning something from a distance. It's grow by stepping in. Yeah? So, what good is learning forgiveness if I never have to go and step into it? Sometimes I've got to go and say sorry to some people. And I grow as I step into it. Because as I step into forgiveness, what I do, I also grow in humility. I also grow in obedience. Other things start following me. And then guess what this? When I do that, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I'm growing in some stuff. So what I grow in follows me. Does this make sense? There is no shortcut to the top. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head of Christ. Anybody want some faith? So, let's go back to our boy Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, Jesus, Samuel, Israel, they all had to get ahead. But Zacchaeus did something. He broke down the four areas. Israel never broke down the four commands. She never did take down the Asherah poles. Certain kings did it to a certain point. I don't think there was one king, was there? Was the one who took down the high places filled? There wasn't, was there? I think there was always a high, there was always something not taken down. But the Asherah poles, the altars, all these things have to be smashed in our life if we want to get ahead. Because wherever you worship will always hold you. Whatever you worship will always hold you. That's why if you grow in faith, love, the knowledge of God, if you grow in wisdom and stature and things like that, those things will elevate you and mature you. But if anything of the flesh you grow in, they'll grow in you and they become the thorns, the Bible tells us, that grows up and chokes us. The parable of the sower tells us is that there are things that will grow up inside of you and will choke your faith. Because you've allowed them to grow on the inside and you've lent on them and now you can't control them. Now they're controlling you. We've all got them, folks. We've all got them. And what does the Bible say about the wheats and the tares? Leave it till the end of the age. God will separate. Right, but there's things that you and I must do. Today, let's stand to our feet, if you will. If you find yourself like Zacchaeus, wanting to get ahead, you want to get ahead, and you know that you have to smash something, burn something, break down something, then I want you to signal it today with the Lord, and I'm just going to pray for you. We don't have to make this thing, you know, we don't need music, we don't need wailing, we just need people, that's you. I'm going to pray for you right now. There's things that want smashing, breaking, burning. We're not going to burn you. You're all right. That's you. Acknowledge it this morning and let God break some things so that you can get ahead. But there is no shortcuts. You have to grow in some things and you have to face some things if you want to get ahead. I'm not going to say any more. If that's you, come out. If not, we're going to close down, pray, and go out. Father, does anybody want to get ahead? Does anybody want to get ahead? Then come on, be honest with yourself. Acknowledge, I want to get ahead, Lord. I want to break some things. Some things need to be broken down in me. Some things need to be burnt. Some things need to be smashed. Some things just need to be put aside so I can grow and advance and get ahead with God. And have favor with God and with man. Come on, if that's you. Stand here this morning. Let God be God in your life. Come forward, Doc. Just stand here. We're going to break it down. Break these altars down. In the name of Jesus. Come on, raise your hands. Let faith rise up now for those. You may not need to come out. You may be hesitant about coming out. But at least raise your hands and pray for those who have come out. That God will set them free in this area. Liberty will come to their spirit. Discipline will come to their spirit. Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, just all begin to pray. We don't need music to stifle, to suffocate, to take away the silence in the room. We don't need that. That's nonsense. Let your own spirit become the music. Let it become the melody of heaven. Paul and Phil, I'm going to ask you if you just go and pray for the people, if you will. Remember, we're breaking things down. We're smashing some things so you can get ahead. Come on, folks. Have a strong spirit. Have a strong spirit about you. Some ladies, come and pray for Dot. Break whatever's holding. Smash down whatever's holding. As long as they make the choice, your will, two wills become one will. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, give your people the power, oh God, to break down, to smash, to burn, to destroy. Give them the will to grow in wisdom, to grow in knowledge of the faith of God, to grow in areas. Father, I pray, remove the obstacles in their way. Remove the obstacles in their way. Oh, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Rabba Sete Rianda Rabba Kurionda La Sete. Father, right now, through the mighty name of Jesus, break every stronghold over your people. Let the liberating power of God come upon you, every one of you. Let the liberating power of the Holy Ghost come upon you, in Jesus' name. Oh, Rebaba Satara Mama Korianda. Lara Mama Siti Rebaba Koriande. Oriama Siti Rebaba Koriando Lobro Siti Riende. Kalyamaraba Siti Rebaba Korianda. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we lift up your people to you this morning, O God, and we say, you are the King, you are the Lord, you are the Lord of hosts, the Lord God, strong and mighty. And Father, I pray that you, being the King of glory, that your people will lift up their heads, they will open the ancient doors of their heart, and let the King of glory in. He who is the Lord of hosts. Father, we thank you for today's word. And I pray, Lord, that the seeds that have been planted this morning, that the birds of the air will not come and eat and devour them. Amen. But, oh God, that you'll protect the seed that has been sown in the hearts of those receiving it today. Father, we thank you once again for victory. We thank you once again for this week, Lord, opening the door for David to get into the first step. Father, I pray that you will teach him your ways. Teach him your ways. Teach him the corridors, how to move, how to sway. And I see David like a boxer in a ring. And before any blow is taken, the body is swaying. It's reading the movements. It's watching the opponent. And I believe that this season, the Lord says, before you take a punch, I'm taking you into the corridors, and I want you to be observant of the body movements. I want you to see how the people sway, how they move, what they dodge, what they lean back in, what they lean into. Observe how the people function. Because if you're going to go in there and land punches, you must read the body movements, which are spirit-driven, behind the curtain, so to speak. It's not just the punch that wakes you up. God wants you ahead of the game. You must read the movements. In the corridors, the conversations, watch what they lean into, watch how they pull out, watch how they swerve, watch what they avoid. You must watch these things. If you're going to be my instrument, you must observe the room. Father, we thank you right now. Anoint, anoint, increase, increase, increase. The capacity to learn, the capacity to observe. Father, open his mind, open his heart. Lord, this young man, oh God, let him become a mighty man of God in the corridors. Let him grow in Christ. Let him grow in politics, but let his politics grow inside of Christ. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a standing ovation. That word is an instructive word for you. It's an encouraging word because as you read, God's preparing you for the road ahead. Write that down. Movements, observe, watch it all, because that's all that God's asking you from this season. Amen.